Psalms 90, verse 13, through Psalms 92, verse 5. Return, O Yahweh, how long? O be sorry for your servants. Satisfy us in the morning with your loving commitment, and let us sing for joy all our days. Give us joy according to the days you have afflicted us, the years we have seen evil. Reveal your work to your servants, and your splendor to their children. And let the pleasantness of Yahweh, our Elohim, be upon us, and confirm the work of our hands for us. O, confirm the work of our hands. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High, who abides under the shadow of the Almighty. Shalom, and welcome to the fifth program of His Word Heals. This program is focused weekly on praying in agreement with Yahweh's Word. If you missed our first four programs, please listen to their podcast by downloading them for free at www.hiswordheals.com. If you are blessed by what you hear, please consider supporting this radio station by clicking the donate button on their website. Each week's program will build upon the information and prayers from the week before, so if this is your first time tuning in, please go back and listen to and pray along with previous programs. The premise of this program is that once you have put your trust in the death, burial, resurrection, and kingship of Yeshua our Messiah, you are either a newly grafted in branch or a grafted back in branch of the tree of Israel, as explained by Paul in Romans 11:13-17. You are part of spiritual Israel, joined to Yahweh's chosen people, and all of the promises and instructions given to Israel apply to you, both the blessings for obedience and the chastisements for disobedience, as outlined through His entire Word. The difference is in that we now have a better sacrifice to take away our sins, which is Yeshua, who has taken all of our sins and punishments upon Himself, so that we could have a fresh start clothed in His righteousness before Yahweh our Father. John chapter 1 tells us, Yeshua is our Creator's Word made flesh. Yeshua is the same yesterday, today, and forever, we are told in Hebrews 13:8. Yeshua, Yahweh's Word made flesh, was able to heal His people 2,000 years ago, and Yeshua, His Word, is still able to heal His people today. If you have questions, please contact us at hwh@hiswordheals.com. Each week's prayer time is patterned after the pattern that Yeshua taught in Matthew 6:9-13, with a focus on healing, while we pray in agreement with a variety of new scriptures each week. At the end of today's program, we will continue our brief look at the significance of the upcoming fall feasts and especially the total solar eclipse of August 21st, marking this year's 40 days of repentance leading up to Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. But right now, let's please take a few moments of silence to prepare our hearts to pray to our Father in Yeshua's name. Blessed are you, O Yahweh, Creator and King of the universe. We want to praise you as David did. You said King David was a man after your own heart. David knew how to praise you and glorify your name, so we want to praise you as well with some of David's psalms. Today we will praise you in agreement with Psalms 86:1-17 and Psalms 100:1-5 and Psalms 34:8-10. A prayer of David. Bow down thine ear, O Yahweh. Hear me, for I am poor and needy. Preserve my soul, for I am holy. Set apart. O thou Elohim, save your servants that trust in you. Be merciful to us, O Yahweh, for we cry unto you daily. Rejoice the soul of thy servant, for unto thee, O Yahweh, do I lift my soul. For you, Yahweh, art good, and ready to forgive, and plenteous in mercy unto all of them that call upon you. Give ear, O Yahweh, unto our prayers, and attend to the voice of our supplications. In the day of our trouble we will call upon you, for you will answer us. Among the gods there is none like unto you, O Yahweh. Neither are there any works like unto your works. All nations whom thou hast made shall come and worship before you, O Yahweh, and shall glorify your name. For you are great and do wondrous things. You are Elohim alone. Teach me your way, O Yahweh. I will walk in your truth. Unite my heart to fear your name. We will praise you, O Yahweh, our Elohim, with all our heart, and will glorify your name forevermore. For great is your mercy toward us, and you have delivered my soul from the lowest hell. O Elohim, the proud are risen against us, and the assemblies of violent men have sought after our souls, and have not set you before them. But you, O Yahweh, are an Elohim full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering and plenteous in mercy and truth. O turn unto us, and have mercy upon us. Give your strength unto your servants, and save the sons of your handmaids. Show us a token for good, that they which hate us may see it, and be ashamed, because you, O Yahweh, have helped me and comforted me. We will sing a psalm of praise. Make a joyful noise unto Yahweh, all ye lands. Serve Yahweh with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that Yahweh, he is God, he is Elohim. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name. For Yahweh is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. Your kingdom come, and your will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. O taste and see that Yahweh is good. Blessed is the man that trusts in him. O fear Yahweh, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek Yahweh shall not want any good thing. Dear Abba, we know from your word that you do hear the prayers of the righteous. 1 Peter 3:12 tells us that your eyes are over the righteous, and your ears are open unto their prayers, but the face of Yahweh is against them that do evil. Father, we know that we are made righteous through Yeshua, and we also try to behave righteously according to your word, so we know that your ears are open to our prayers today. Today, Father, it is our prayer that you meet the needs of all of your people. As you have promised, we know that you will do it. Some of us need wisdom in finances and/or sufficient income and flexible schedules that allow for Sabbath rest and set-apart gatherings. You command us to observe these days, so we know that you will provide a means to obey your commands. Some of us need healing and health. Please give us wisdom and conviction in how to care for and keep our bodies set apart, because we know they are temples for you, our living Elohim, to abide within us. Give us wisdom on eating clean, according to Leviticus 23, and addressing specific health issues in a biblical manner, teaching your ways to set ourselves apart from the world and all the sin that it has to offer. Teach us how to be set apart or holy, as you are set apart and holy. Yeshua healed many when he was physically here on earth 2,000 years ago. Yeshua is the same yesterday, today, and forever, we are told in Hebrews 13:8. We know Yeshua healed all the great multitudes of people that followed him, as we have been told from many scriptures. We know from Matthew 14:14 that when Yeshua went forth and saw that great multitude, he was moved with compassion toward them, and he healed their sick. In Matthew 14:36, everyone who touched the hem of his garment was made perfectly whole. He healed everyone who came to him. We likewise are coming to you today and asking in the name and authority of Yeshua for you to heal your people today, especially all those that would come to you in his name seeking to touch the tzitzit on the hem of his garment, by acknowledging and seeking to obey all that you've commanded us, as Numbers 15:38 and Deuteronomy 22:12 tell us about the tzitzit. Dear Abba, we also pray now for our enemies. We would rather that we didn't have enemies, but we know that there are enemies of your kingdom out there, and your enemies are our enemies. If any of us have any enemies that are not your enemies, we pray that we would mend relations with them, that you would open the door of communication between brothers and sisters who may be estranged, and that you would give us and them a heart to forgive and love one another. We pray for relationships to be restored for your glory. However, regarding true enemies that are enemies of your kingdom, true enemies that are against us, We pray for complete victory over them through you. We know your word is true and faithful, and you are not a respecter of persons, but that your promises are made to all those that belong to you and trust in you and are reborn through the redemption of Yeshua. We trust in your promises made in Exodus 23:22, Leviticus 26:7-8, and other places to the Israelites in the wilderness, whom you said were examples for us. You promised if they, or us, shall indeed obey your voice, your messenger's voice, Yeshua, and or the prophets, and do all that you speak through your messengers, your word, then you will be an enemy unto our enemies, and an adversary unto our adversaries. You promise we shall chase our enemies, and they shall fall before us by the sword, and 5 of us shall chase 100, and 100 of us shall put 10,000 to flight, and our enemies shall fall before us by the sword. We also know from Ephesians 6:12, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Therefore, as Ephesians 6:17 instructs, we want to put on the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is your word. When you tell us our enemies will fall by the sword, we know that the sword which they will fall by is your sword, the sword of your word. That is exactly how Yeshua overcame the enemy in the wilderness, with the sword of your word, and he is your word made flesh. He overcame the enemy by constantly saying, "It is written," throughout Matthew 4. Please fill us with your set-apart Holy Spirit to remind us of your written word and write your word upon our hearts. Please call it to mind that we may use it to fight our enemies and to send them running that they would fall by it. Most of all, we pray that they would truly hear your word, and if it is possible for them to repent, that they would turn and repent and glorify you and your kingdom and would no longer be our enemies. Please also give us a heart to forgive them and welcome them into your kingdom when they repent. Father, these enemies, these principalities in high places that are against us in this world, are masters in the art of fear and terror. They know how to test our faith and whisper false words against you and against your promises. They know how to plant fear and doubt. We know from 2 Timothy 1:7 that you have not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind. So, if you have not given us a spirit of fear, then that spirit must be from the enemy. We reject that spirit right now, Father. We don't want any spirit that is not from you. We instead want to receive your spirit of power, of love, and of sound mind. The spirit of fear is one of the enemies we want to send running and cast down by the sword of your word. You tell us to fear not in over 60 verses in your word. This is a command, and we want to obey it. We know that fear is a form of unbelief that is common to all of us. Help us to realize who the spirit of fear is from and to reject it, countering this spirit's lies with, "It is written." When we fear sickness, help us to remember, "It is written, by his stripes we are healed." And, "If we obey all that you command, you shall not put the diseases of Egypt upon us." And also that you said, "You are Yahweh Rapha, who heals us," along with a multitude of other scriptures telling us to turn to you for healing, and you will heal us. Please strengthen us against the lies and false promises of healing made by our enemies to wield control over us. If they can get us to fear, then they wield control over us and we become their servants. Please remind us the only thing we should fear is fear itself, because in Revelation 21:8, you listed the fearful right along with the unbelieving and the abominable and the murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars, which shall have their part in the lake of fire that burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. You are the only one we want to fear. Repeatedly we are told to fear you and no one else throughout your word, with the promises in Psalms 115:11 that when we fear you and trust in you, you are our help and our shield. And Deuteronomy 6:24 tells us to fear Yahweh our Elohim for our good always, that you would preserve us alive. We want to fear and reverence and respect you alone. We know your mercy endures forever when we fear you, according to Psalms 118:4. We want and need your mercy and thank you for it. Your yoke, O Yahweh, is easy and your burden is light. Matthew 11:30. Ecclesiastes 12:13 sums it all up for us. Let us hear the whole conclusion of the matter. Fear Elohim and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. That is all we have to do, and when we fall short, we know that you are merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. Psalms 103:8. And when we call upon you, you are good and ready to forgive, and plenteous in mercy. Psalms 86:5. Thank you, Abba, for all of these promises, for your great mercy and forgiveness. We call upon you today to show us our sins as you see them, and give us a new heart that would be quick to repent and turn from them, trusting only in you and your goodness and mercy. Deliver us from fear, temptation, and evil. Draw us nearer to you. Gather us under your wings of mercy and tenderness. Bring all those that are yours into your sheepfold and lead us through green pastures by still waters. Thank you, Abba, that we are your children and you are our perfect Father. Thank you that you are a father to the fatherless, and your love for us is beyond our comprehension. Please make your love radiate through us to the whole world, that you would be magnified and your Son, your Word, would be honored and revered. Sanctify our hearts and make us always ready to give an answer to every man that asks the reason for the hope that is in us, with meekness and fear. 1 Peter 3:15. That every knee would bow and every tongue confess that you are Master, King, and Creator. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Amen. As promised, here's another little installment of what significance this fall's total solar eclipse could be for Yahweh's people around the world, and particularly in the U.S., where a rare total solar eclipse will be seen in its totality from one corner of our nation to the other, from west to east, a 70-mile-wide path of darkness traversing our nation, marking specifically the biblical date of Elul 1. As mentioned in last week's program, the eclipse will take place on the secular date of August 21st, but its biblical date will be at the most 1 or 2 days prior to Elul 1 of the biblical calendar. Hopefully you had a chance over the past week to do a little research into the historic and biblical significance of Elul 1. Elul 1 begins the last 40 days before Yom Kippur, or the Day of Atonement and or of Judgment. According to Jewish tradition, on Yom Kippur, your sins are either atoned for or you will receive just judgment for your sins. Additionally, and significantly, Elul 1 is also believed to be the day that Moses climbed back up Mount Sinai after the sin of the golden calf to receive the second set of tablets with the commandments of Yahweh written on them. The 40 days Moses was up in the presence of Yahweh before bringing down the second set of tablets were then the 40 days between Elul 1 and Yom Kippur. When Moses came back down the mountain with the second set of tablets, he had a glowing or glorified face on Yom Kippur. Consider, when Moses came down from the presence of Yahweh with the first set of tablets containing the word of Yahweh, he broke the tablets because of the sin of the people's false worship with the golden calf. Likewise, the first time Yeshua came down from Yahweh's presence as Yahweh's word made flesh, his body, like the first two tablets, was broken for our sins. When Moses again came down from the presence of Yahweh with the second set of tablets containing Yahweh's word, his face was glowing or glorified. When Yeshua, Yahweh's word, returns at his second coming, he will not be broken and humbled as the first time, but instead he will be glorified as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Revelation 10:1 says, "His face will shine as the sun." Next week I will share some scriptures that seem to suggest Moses indeed did come back down on Yom Kippur. Will Yeshua's second coming in glory also be on a Yom Kippur some year after the last 40 days of repentance, before his judgment and subsequent 1,000-year kingdom on earth? After much study and revelation from Yahweh through His Word, I believe so. And I will continue this series each week with scriptures that clearly support this possibility. If this theory is correct, we then are likely being told by the signs in the heavens, and especially the total eclipse this year, which is dramatically marking the beginning of the 40 days of repentance before Yom Kippur, to start paying close attention to the times and seasons, and to broadcast to the world Elijah's message that an end is coming to our allotted time for repentance before His return. The signs in the heavens seem to be screaming, "Repent, for the kingdom is at hand." In Matthew 3:1-3, we see that this was the message of John the Baptist at Yeshua's first coming. John's message was also the message of Elijah. And this same message of Elijah will be preached before Yeshua's second coming. After Yeshua was baptized by John the Baptist and then went to be tempted into the wilderness 40 days, during which time John was put in prison, Yeshua picked up the mantle and began preaching this same Elijah message in Matthew 4:17. Read on and you will see Yeshua's message was all about repentance and healing from Matthew 4:17 through Matthew 17:2, when He was transfigured on the Mount of Olives and His face glowed like Moses' face did. We see in Matthew 3:4, this transfiguration likely happened on Tabernacles, which of course is 5 days after Yom Kippur. Verse 17:1 of Matthew tells us this glorification of the Son took place after 6 days. Not 6 days after anything in particular, just after 6 days. Again, Peter tells us in 2 Peter 3:8, a day with Yahweh is as 1,000 years. This transfiguration after 6 days is a picture of Yeshua's coming in glory 6 days or 6,000 years after creation. Additionally, as relating to Yom Kippur, the Feast of Tabernacles is 5 days after Yom Kippur. So then including Yom Kippur and the first day of Tabernacles, when Yeshua returns in glory to rule and reign for 1,000 years, there are 6 days. These 6 days of Yom Kippur to Tabernacles tell the story of the time from creation to His millennial reign, in that the first 1,000 years, which ended in Noah and the flood of judgment of the entire world, represents Yom Kippur, or the first of these 6 days to His glorification. Then, there are 5 days, or 5,000 years, between the flood, Yom Kippur judgment, and His glorification at the end of 6,000 years, or 6 days, which begins the first day of Tabernacles, or the 7th millennium, His 1,000-year reign. The Lord's Day, or Yahweh's Day, is our day of rest when we have rest from deception by the enemy who is bound in chains for 1,000 years. Folks, we are close. While I don't believe this is the year, I also don't think the eclipse marking the final 40 days of repentance before Yom Kippur this year is a coincidence. Perhaps we should see this as a sign that we need to take a little extra time examining ourselves and studying His Word during these 40 days this year and every day from here on out until we see Him return in His glory. I do, however, believe, based upon Scripture, that this Yom Kippur could be one of the final few Yom Kippurs before His return. I will continue this look at the parallels between Moses' 2 descents down the mountain with Yahweh's Word and Yeshua's first and second coming as Yahweh's Word made flesh next week. So please stay tuned. I think you will be surprised at what we are being told in Exodus and Deuteronomy about the times we are currently living in. Until then, do some studying on your own into these parallels. With the help of Yahweh's Spirit, I bet you can find lots of these parallels and many more for yourselves. Let's compare notes and reason together. Goodbye for now, and Yah willing, I look forward to praying in agreement with Yahweh's Word with all of you again next week. Again, if this is your first time listening, please download and listen to our preceding programs at www.hiswordheals.com. Until next week, blessings and shalom to all of you and everyone in your homes.